Welcome to episode 34 of Everybody ESL, the podcast for everybody who wants to improve their English, practice their English, or just learn more English. My name is Ben, and today I've got another full-length episode for you. The Everybody ESL podcast can be found in the Apple iTunes Store and on the Stitcher app. If you like the podcast, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. And as always, if you have any questions about English, please send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com, and maybe I will answer your question on a future episode. Okay, let's get on with this episode. The theme for this episode's vocabulary list is New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. As I'm recording this, it is December 26th, so I guess I've got New Year's Eve and New Year's Day on my mind. The first word in our New Year's vocabulary list is countdown. C-O-U-N-T-D-O-W-N. A countdown is any time when you start at a high number and count backwards down to a lower number. Well, what does that have to do with New Year's Eve or New Year's Day? Well, at New Year's Eve parties, people often have a countdown, starting maybe 30 seconds before midnight. People will count down. They will mark each passing second until we reach the new year. So eventually everybody in the room will be saying 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, etc. until they get all the way down to the new year. That is an example of a countdown. And what happens when they reach zero and it is the new year? Everybody gets out their noisemakers. Noisemaker is N-O-I-S-E-M-A-K-E-R. A noisemaker is exactly what it sounds like. It is a thing that makes noise. It might be a kind of a rattle or a whistle or a horn. It is customary to make a lot of noise when the new year begins. So people will get out their noisemakers. Now what about this word Eve? In New Year's Eve, E-V-E. What does that mean? Well, it's short for the word evening, E-V-E-N-I-N-G, and it means the day or the night before an important day, or the day or night before an important event. So the day before Christmas is Christmas Eve. The day before New Year's Day is New Year's Eve. You could also talk about soldiers preparing on the eve of battle, on the day before a big battle. Or you could talk about what students are doing on the eve of an important test, what they are doing on the day or the night before an important test. Now, what do people often prepare for the new year? They often prepare New Year's resolutions. And resolution is R-E-S-O-L-U-T-I-O-N. A resolution is a promise that you make. Sometimes a promise you make just to yourself. A promise that you make about something difficult and important that you will do. People make New Year's resolutions to start going to the gym, or to stop smoking cigarettes, or to finally get enough sleep, or maybe to quit their job and get a better job. Those are examples of New Year's resolutions, the promises people make for the new year. Now, why do people make resolutions for the new year? Well, I think the reason is that a new year feels like a clean slate. That's clean, C-L-E-A-N, slate, S-L-A-T-E. A slate is a blackboard, or that's one meaning of the word slate. So a clean slate is a clean blackboard. There's nothing written on it yet. Everything is new. It's full of possibility. So the new year can feel like a clean slate, a brand new beginning. Everything is possible. Nothing has already been decided. Nothing has been written on it. Now, what do people do at New Year's Eve parties? There's one thing they do that people do at every party, and that is celebrate. C-E-L-E-B-R-A-T-E. To celebrate is to have fun or to mark a special occasion. So you can celebrate the new year, you could celebrate your birthday, or you could celebrate finally getting your driver's license. Now, when does New Year's begin? It begins at the stroke of midnight on January 1st. At the stroke of midnight. I like this expression too. The stroke of midnight is the exact moment when midnight happens. Now, a stroke can mean a quick motion or a hit. So when I hear at the stroke of midnight, I think of the hand of a clock moving to the 12 and signifying that it is now midnight. Or maybe an old-fashioned clock striking a bell to mark the hour. So that's at the stroke of midnight, at the exact moment when midnight comes. Now, the last word on our New Year's vocabulary is not really a word at all. It's three initials, D-U-I. Have you ever heard of a D-U-I? D-U-I stands for driving under the influence. And what that means is driving under the power or under the effects of alcohol. In other words, drunk driving, which is illegal, very dangerous, and a very terrible idea. And it's something that sometimes people need to worry about or think about or plan for when they are having a New Year's Eve party. For today's grammar lesson, we return to the topic that we started back in episode 32. That's when we had part one of our series about the word would, W-O-U-L-D, one of the most difficult words in all of English. Well, today it's time for part two of our series about the word would. In part one, I talked briefly about what I called the hypothetical and conditional uses of would. Well, today I'm going to talk about would and will. We can think of would as being the past tense form of will. Now, I think that's kind of a strange thing to say because will isn't really a verb. It's sometimes called a modal. Maybe you've even seen it called a helping verb. It can never be a main verb. But in a way, it's kind of verb-like because it does have a past tense form. Now let me give you a couple of examples, and I think that you will understand after we talk about these. The first example is, he told me that he would study hard for his test. He told me that he would study hard for his test. Think of it like this. It's like imagining what the future looked like in the past. It's like a past future, which is kind of a strange thing to say and a strange thing to think about, but I think that's what's going on here. Back then, in the past, he told me about the future, and in that future, he would study hard. So back then, in the past, it was a regular future tense. I could say, he told me, quote, I will study hard, end quote. Or I could say, he told me he would study hard. So you can see it's a kind of past tense version of the future. It's the past tense version of will. Here's another example. I knew she would be happy in Spain. Again, it's like seeing the future in the past. Back then, I knew, that's the past tense, back then I knew what was in the future. She would be happy in Spain in the future. So again, it is the past tense version of the future. I knew she would be happy in Spain. That's all we're going to say about would in part two of our ongoing series about the word would. In the next full-length episode of Everybody ESL, I will bring you part three of the series about would. And that won't be the last part. It keeps going on. Would is a very tricky word. It's very hard to learn and understand all of the uses of this word. So that's why I'm trying to go slow and introduce each different use one at a time. This episode's small talk topic or social situation is how to say no. Now that might sound kind of strange, but let me tell you, many people, not only people who are learning English, even native English speakers, have trouble saying no. Well, here's the scene. Just imagine this. Someone is asking you to do something, and it's something you don't want to do. Or maybe you can't do it. So they say, oh, hey, will you be able to help me move a piano this weekend? I'm moving into a new apartment and I need some help bringing a piano up 8 flights of stairs. That sounds like a pretty terrible thing to have to do. And you do not want to do this, but you're not sure how to say no. Well, let me tell you, it's actually much more simple than many people think. So if somebody says, can you help me move this piano up 8 flights of stairs? You can say, oh, I'm sorry, I won't be able to. That's really all you need to say. Oh, I'm sorry, I won't be able to. Or, oh, I'm sorry, I can't. Or, oh, I'm sorry, that won't be possible. Now, if they ask why, because people do that sometimes, why can't you help me move a piano up 8 flights of stairs this weekend? All you have to do is say, oh, I have other plans. I won't be able to, I have other plans. I'm sorry, I can't, I have other plans. I'm sorry, that's not possible, I have other plans. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying no to people, as long as you say it in a polite and friendly way. So, I think you should practice this. Imagine that somebody is asking you to come to their house and help them move a piano up 8 flights of stairs, and you don't want to do it. Just say, I'm sorry, I won't be able to. Or, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm sorry, that won't be possible. And when they ask, as they might, why? Why can't you do it? Oh, I have other plans, but I hope everything works out okay. Good luck with the piano. And now it's time for nobody's favorite part of the podcast. It's the joke of the week. I'm still going to keep doing these because I think they give us interesting and fun ways to learn about English. And this week's joke is, why should you never lie to an X-ray technician? Why should you never lie to an X-ray technician? Well, first of all, what is an X-ray technician? An X-ray technician is somebody who operates X-ray equipment, somebody who takes an x-ray of you at the hospital or at the doctor's office. So why should you never lie to an x-ray technician? Do you know the answer? Why should you never lie to an x-ray technician? Because they can see right through you. Why is that a joke? To see right through somebody means two different things. The first one is the literal meaning. To see through something or to see through somebody is to look past their surface and look into their interior, to look into their insides. That's kind of what an x-ray does. To an x-ray, you are transparent. You're not a solid object. So to see through something is to see past the surface and all the way into it, or all the way beyond it. So you can see through a window. Well, there are even some animals you can see through. They are transparent. Maybe a jellyfish. You can see through a jellyfish. Well, to see through somebody also has a figurative meaning, an idiomatic meaning. To see through somebody means to see what they really think, to see what they really mean. If you see through somebody, it means they do not fool you. Doesn't matter what they say, you know what they're actually thinking, and you know what they actually mean. So you should never lie to x-ray technicians because they can see right through you. So they can look at an x-ray of you and see through you and see your bones, but also they can see through you. They'll know when you're lying. Well, that's the joke of the week. If you have a better one, and I'll bet many of you do, please send it to me so maybe I can have a better joke the next time. Send it to everybodyesl@gmail.com. Instead of having a listening quiz, the way I do with most full-length episodes, I thought it might be fun to have a different kind of quiz. So this episode, we're going to have a short quiz about opposites. I will give you a word, and you see if you can think of the word that is the opposite of that word. Some of them will be pretty simple, maybe, and some of them might be a little bit more tricky. Let's see how you do with this opposites quiz. The first word is short. What's the opposite of short? Do you know this one? You can write it down or just think of it, and I'll give all the answers at the end. So the first word is short. And the second word is wide. W-I-D-E, wide. Number three, deep. D-E-E-P, deep. Number four, shy. S-H-Y. What's the opposite of shy? Number five, interested. I-N-T-E-R-E-S-T-E-D. Interested. Number six, nervous. N-E-R-V-O-U-S. What is the opposite of nervous? Number seven, warm. W-A-R-M. Number eight, messy. M-E-S-S-Y. And number nine is hungry, H-U-N-G-R-Y. Now, for some of these, there might not be just one answer. Maybe there are a whole bunch of answers that work. Well, I'll tell you what answers I have, and maybe they match the answers that you have. For number one, short, there are two opposites. It depends which meaning of the word short you have in mind. If you're talking about a person or a tree that is short, well, then the opposite is tall. But if you're talking about something that is short in duration, short in time, like a short movie or a short song, then the opposite is long. Number two, the opposite of wide is narrow. Now, I think in some cases maybe thin is a good opposite for wide, but let's say in general, narrow is the best opposite. Number three, the opposite of deep is shallow. 4, the opposite of shy is bold, or maybe confident, or unafraid. So there's a few good possibilities for you. 5, the opposite of interested is bored. 6, the opposite of nervous could be relaxed, calm, or peaceful. Maybe you came up with some other answers for that one too. 7, the opposite of warm is cool. 8, the opposite of messy is tidy or neat, or maybe in some cases, clean. And 9, the opposite of hungry is full, or you could also say stuffed. And that's the end of episode 34 of Everybody ESL. Remember, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. You can even send your thoughts in the form of an audio file, and maybe I will play that on a future episode. I'll be back soon with a mini episode, and until then, keep going. Keep practicing, and keep learning. Goodbye. I'll see you soon.